Last week, folks, we talked that we would be beginning a new series, and all things new. And so we're going to be looking at a new kind of rest next week, a new kind of family, a new kind of growth. We're going to be looking at new things, folks. But today, we're looking at a new kind of kingdom. We talked about that John the Baptist had come. He had prepared the way for Jesus. He was preaching in the wilderness. He was different. He didn't go to town to preach about Jesus. He stayed outside of town in the wilderness, which was probably a desert type deal. But he wore a old camel skin and had a leather belt, and he's a pretty rough looking guy. But he told about Jesus everywhere he went. And everything he done, and people came from town out to hear the word. Now, why would he have done that? I think it was because he didn't want to be distracted by the things, and he didn't want other people to be distracted about the things that was going on in town. There was a lot of stuff happening in town. And so the distraction would have been really big had he been in the city area. So he stayed outside where people could come to him and hear the word. Jesus came along and he told John that he wanted to be baptized. And John said, "You need to be baptizing me." And Jesus said, "No, you baptize me." And we know that the Holy Spirit come down upon Jesus when he was baptized. And we talked last week about how Jesus, John said that when the Holy Spirit comes down upon the one that I baptize, this will be the Messiah. So he knew when he had baptized Jesus and the Holy Spirit came down that it was Jesus himself. Jesus left John. He went straight into the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. We all have heard and know that story of how Jesus went into the wilderness and the devil told Jesus all kinds of stuff. If you will only do this, if you will only do that, just like he did Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve gave in to it, but Jesus did not. Jesus, he helped out from the devil, he helped away from the devil, and this was the beginning of Jesus' ministry, which brings us to Mark 1, verse 14 this week. So, a new kingdom. It was a new kingdom because people had not been hearing what John had been preaching and what Jesus had been preaching. The Jews was pretty much the only game going. And the Jews said, "We got it all under control, folks. You don't believe it, just ask us. We got it all taken care of. So, if you want to come and be a Jew, you can come and join up with us and believe like we believe. And even though you're not of Jewish blood, maybe, and we will baptize you into the Jewish church." But they had never heard of repentance of sin. They had never heard that you need to repent of your sin and be baptized. They had never heard that you need to repent of your sin because God is sending the Messiah. He is sending your Savior, your Lord and Savior, to be, and you are going to repent your sin to him and to be baptized. And it's going to show others around you through this baptism that you have been washed clean, that you have been washed and you desire for a new changed life. You desire for people to see you in a different way than they've seen you before, because the way that you've lived has not been the way that we should have lived. That's always hard when we tell someone that we're changing our life. We're changing our life from the way that we used to be to the way that we are now. I know it's very hard for people to grasp that. They're not looking at what you tell them. They're hearing just every other word. They're watching you. They're seeing you. They want to know what you're going to do, when you're going to do it. They watch you like a hawk, and they should. Because if you're claiming to be a child of God and you have listened to what John the Baptist had been preaching, and then you had repented of your sin and was baptized, then you should be a changed person. And so we pick up at verse 14 this morning. Jesus preaches in Galilee. And so it says, later on, after John was arrested, now John has been put in jail at this time, so it's up to Jesus to begin his ministry and to take this word of God forward, because John has been arrested. And so Jesus went into Galilee, where he preached God's good news. The time promised by God has come at last. This is Jesus' words. The time promised by God has come at last, he announced. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of yourselves. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. Repent of your sins and believe the good news. One day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they fish for a living. And Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little farther up the shore, Jesus saw Zebedee's sons, James and John, in a boat, repairing their nets. He called them at once, and they also followed him, leaving their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men. Jesus and his companions went to town to Capernaum, where the Sabbath day came, and he went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teachings, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike the teachers of the religious law. And suddenly, a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit began shouting, "Why are you interfering with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus cut him short. "Be quiet. Come out of the man," he ordered. And at that, the evil spirit screamed, threw the man into a convulsion, and then came out of him. "What sort of new teaching is this?" they asked excitedly. "It has such authority. Even evil spirits obey his orders." And the news about Jesus spread quickly throughout the entire region of Galilee. This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, folks, there's so much here that we could talk about. But we see today that in the very beginning, as Jesus, he hears that John has been arrested and put in jail. And so Jesus has got to, he's fixing to start his ministry. And he's fixing to take God's word into the cities and into the towns. We know that he was born and he was raised there in Nazareth. He was born in Jerusalem, but he was raised in Bethlehem. He's raised in Nazareth. But we know that he left Nazareth and went to Capernaum. Now, why would he have left Nazareth and went to Capernaum? Why couldn't he have just started there in his hometown where he was? Well, Capernaum was a bigger city. It was there on the Sea of Galilee. There was all kinds of things happening in Capernaum. It was kind of like going to New Orleans, and it's a seaport town, and there's everything going on in New Orleans. And so you can find a church to go to, or you can go downtown and find anything you want to get into. That's the way that it is. And so Jesus went to Capernaum to start his preaching in that town, because he wanted people to know and to hear who he was. There was a greater opportunity for him there than it was if he had started his ministry in Nazareth. And besides, people in your hometown, 2/3 of the time, they don't want to listen to you. They don't want to hear what you got to say. They want to hear somebody from outside of the hometown that's brought in that can preach a lot better than your hometown boys. And so that's what they do. They hire people outside to come in and to be the ministers. Even today, we continue to see that. And so he started his ministry in Capernaum, telling them, "Repent of your sin and believe the good news." And so he's walking along the seashore there, and he's seeing the Andrew and Simon. And it says he saw Simon and his brother Andrew throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. And Jesus called out to them, "Come and follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." You know, folks, Peter, James, and John, We know they were really the three that kind of was the core, I guess you'd say. They were the ones that kind of had the inside track, you know. We hear people today that say, we got the inside track on what's going on. We know the inside deal, you know. Well, they were the ones. But I want us to stop and think about this morning is, I want you to stop and think about your calling. I want you to stop and think about, after your calling, how have you responded to Jesus? Because this is kind of what we're talking about this morning, a new kingdom. The calling, Jesus saw Simon and his brother Andrew. Andrew was right there beside Simon. Andrew, he called both of them. He called both of them right now at this time. But Simon, he called Simon, he called Peter Simon because it meant rock. He knew Simon was going to be great in his ministry. He knew what Simon would be. He knew what Peter would be. He knew that Peter was probably the roughest around the edges of all of these guys. This dude, he's pretty rough, Wayne. He's not really any kind of guy like we would be. He's a rough dude. And so you see James and you see John. John probably being the youngest one of the three, and it makes you wonder, why would he have chose those three? It could have been that those three folks was the one that needed the most attention, the ones that needed the most polishing of all of them. He had to keep them where he could polish on them constantly because they were the youngest needing more training than the older ones, but the other two maybe were just a little bit more unpolished, maybe. I don't know. I really don't know. But I'm just wondering. But you see Andrew. Andrew was a man that was very quiet. Everything that you read about Andrew, it tells us that he was a quiet man. He didn't talk a lot. He wasn't loud. He wasn't up in anybody's face. But when he told people things, they listened. He was a follower of John the Baptist. He had been a disciple of John's. And when he spoke to people, people listened. Peter had heard about Jesus through Andrew. Other people had heard about Jesus through Andrew. And so when he spoke, people listened. And so we see that Andrew's not really talked about much because Andrew is really more where Jesus wanted him to be, I think, than the others were. Andrew was more in line with how Jesus would have had him to act, how he would have had him to respond to others and to do the things that he does. And that's kind of puts us back to looking at ourselves. Are we more boisterous out front in the face of somebody? Are we kind of quiet and we just kind of tell people about Jesus? Do people recognize you as being one that will talk about Jesus? Do they recognize you as being one that's going to be right up in your face telling you all the things about Jesus or telling you all the things about something that they really don't know, that you really don't know about really and truly? So we have to stop and ask ourselves, folks, when Jesus calls us, when he calls us to be a son or a daughter of his, are we really, really at that given time ready to follow Christ? It says, And to make that decision, it's sometimes hard, folks. It's hard to know whether you're really ready or not. And it says one day as Jesus was walking, let's drop down. We done read that. And it says a little farther up the shore, Jesus saw Zebedee's son James and John in a boat repairing their nets, and he called them at once, and they also followed him, leaving their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men. Folks, if you stop and you think about this little couple sentences right here. When he called James and John, they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men. You know what they done? They come to follow Jesus, but what they done was they walked off from a relationship of their father and of the people that they were working with. They were probably hired people. They were hired on a payroll just like we all are. And they were probably no different than us. But, you know, you build relationships with people at work. I've always built relationships with people at work as much as I do my own family. I feel like that's an extended family. I want it to be that way. And so when we build these relationships at work, he's walked off from a relationship with his dad, working with his dad every day. They have. And they've walked off from people that they actually love. They're working with every day. They enjoy being in their company. If they didn't, they would have went somewhere. They would have already told them to go somewhere else. So they like the company that they're in. It's a relationship, folks, that you sometimes when you're called to follow Jesus Christ, it means you give up a relationship with somebody. The relationship that I have with a lot of my friends, I have no more. I've told you that almost every Sunday. I have no more because those friends were my friends as long as I was doing the things of this world. When I was running after the things of the world, they were all my friends. If you had a dollar, or if you had a drink, if you had anything, they'll be your friend. But when you don't and you're following Jesus Christ, very few of them decide to follow you. They don't come and hang out with you. They don't come. And so it makes us knowingly who is our friends and who's really not. You know, I was talking to my grandson the other night, and I said, he said, we're going duck hunting Saturday morning, and the wind was blowing pretty bad here. And I said, well, if it's blowing down there like it is here in the morning, you don't need to be going duck hunting. I said, who's going with you? He said, Zach. And I said, okay. I said, you and Zach's got no business in that little old boat that you got out on that big water. And he said, Granddad, I know. I said, is that the only person that duck hunts with you, Zach? He said, Granddaddy, he said, when I come back from the Army, he said, when I got back home from the Army, he said, I had one friend, and it was Zach. He said, when they found out that I wasn't the Christian that left, and I come back the way I am, he said, I got one friend, and it's Zach. Folks, that's what happens. When we follow Christ, when we live a life that is different than the one that we left, you will only have a few friends that will pick up and follow you. A few friends. And you will have to make decisions on what friends you follow, because they're probably not following Christ. They're probably following the world. And this is where we're at this morning. With James and John, they had walked off, and after they walked off from their relationship with the loved ones, there's times that we are called away from our loved ones. There's times that we have to give in to following Christ and doing things that really don't fit into what we would like to be doing right now. I know this for sure. And so that's just where they were at. But Jesus, it said, Jesus and his companions, they went on to Capernaum. And as he began to teach in the synagogue, now he didn't go to Jerusalem, to the temple, to begin his ministry. He started in the synagogue, in a small church outside of town. But they knew when Jesus come, and they began to preach, he began to preach that he was special. You see, then the synagogue was small churches like we got right now. When they would have visiting preachers, visiting guests, a lot of times they would just invite them to come up and speak. Come up and teach. Come up and teach today. Because you're here visiting, you're a teacher at your synagogue, at your church. Why don't you come and speak to us and teach us today? And that's what they would do. And so Jesus came that day. And they said, you being the great teacher that you claim to be, why don't you come and speak to us? And he did. He come and he began to speak to them. And he began to tell them about the Word of God. And while he was telling them about the Word of God, what happened? There was one sitting there that was demon-possessed. He had demons in him. And as he was sitting there with these demons in him, the demons couldn't stand it anymore. They knew who he was. They knew that he was Jesus Christ. And they said, why are you here? Why are you here to bother us? We're not doing anything. We're just hanging out here, you know. Why are you in? What are you going to do to us? And he said, be quiet, come out. And when they come out, when those demons come out of that man, he threw him on the floor into convulsions. It threw him on the floor because they knew, those demons knew Jesus Christ. Folks, so many times today, I guarantee you, we see people every day, that knows who Jesus Christ is. It's not in church on Sunday morning. They're demon people. They know they don't need to be around Jesus Christ. They don't need to be hearing the word of Jesus Christ. They are full of demons, and they're trying to get you to follow them instead of you following Jesus. That's what they work on every day, is for you to follow them. They want you to come and be a part of this world and to not know Jesus. And there's more and more and more people every day walking off from following Jesus each and every day. They're not really Christians. They're not really a follower of Christ. If they would, they hadn't would have never walked off in the first place. But they claim to be. And now we're beginning to see things tighten up on the Christians. We're beginning to see it right here at home, folks. It's tightening up on us. And if you think it's not, you're fooling yourself, because it is. And we're beginning to see that the government's pulling in on us tighter and tighter. And that's just what the Bible tells us is going to happen. It's nothing that's just happening. It's not new. We've been taught this all along, that the Bible will tell us that this is going to happen to us. This is like the beginning of the end, the birth pains of the end. And so we see Jesus was teaching, and hold on just a minute. And he was telling these demons to come out. As we see this happening, folks, today we are seeing the very same thing. We're seeing demons everywhere. People feel with the devil and not of God. So, folks, we see here today that Jesus called his disciples. And when he called his disciples, they were all, everyone that I'm seeing here, they weren't rich people. They weren't people living big lives. They were people that were fishing. These four men were people that were fishing for a living. If you don't fish for a living, you don't really know, but you probably don't smell real well at the end of the day. You know, you're not one desirable to be around. And these people were fishing for a living. They were the lowest of the low, really and truly. And so when you're the lowest of the low, you don't expect Jesus to come to you. You expect Jesus to come to the high and the people that are wealthy and the people that have status. But Jesus came to the low on everybody that he called. Everybody that was involved in Jesus' life was from the bottom up, not from the top down. Folks, I love it. I love every bit of it. Because you take somebody from the top down, most times people don't listen. But you take somebody from the bottom up, if they can come up and make somebody understand who they are, they will listen. And people will understand that they are true followers of Christ. So we see that after he called the man that was demon-possessed, and the demon came out, the people around him said, "Who is this that teaches with such authority? Who is this that teaches with such authority? We've never seen anything like this before. Never, ever have we seen anything like this. Someone that can forgive me of my sin, someone that can heal me, someone that can give me the things that I need and offer to me a relationship with him and eternal life. Never before have we seen anything like this." And folks, today, it is offered to us just as it was offered to them. It was offered to us. He's called each one of us. You may not think he called you. He called me a long time ago. It just took me a long time to get with him, because he called me and I just kept stepping over this direction. I don't need to be with you, Jesus. I got things I need to do and things I need to people I need to see and places I need to go, and I don't need to be following you. And there's many years that I fought that. But after I decided to follow Jesus, my life has been so much better and so much different. And there's so many men sitting in here today that I know their lives. And when they have made that decision, their lives have changed. Their lives have changed. And it's for the better. It's not for the worst, folks. Not for the worst. So I just ask each and every one of us today, when you were called by Jesus, when you decided to follow Jesus and you made that decision to go and be a disciple of His, where is it taking you? Where did it take you? Did it take you away from your relationship with all your friends? Did it take you away from the work that you were doing into another profession? What's it done for you? Have you continued to live your life just as you did before you did that day? Never had an effect on me. I just went and told the Lord that I was going to be a follower of His, and I've been following Him ever since. That's fine. That's good. But what does the people around you see? Did they see that you changed your life any at all? Did you do anything at all that was pleasing unto the Lord to show Him that you were going to be His disciple? You see, folks, it's a lot more to it than what we sometimes think. It's a lot more to it than just saying, Lord, I want you to forgive me of my sins. I'm going to be your disciple from now on, and then going on about your life and not listening to what He has for you to do. It's a lot to it. So we have to stop. We have to ask ourselves, as we have looked at through the Bible study this past semester, are we a fan or are we a follower? Are we truly going to follow Christ? Are we just a fan of His? And when it gets unpopular to follow Him, then we'll do Him like we do all of our football and baseball and all the people that play sports. We'll just kind of put them on the back shelf until they get better at what they're trying to do. And we'll probably see that today with the Titans, you know. So you'll have to decide, are we going to be a fan or a follower? Hopefully after today, we'll have a better deal next year. But who knows, you know. So this is the same way with Jesus. You have to decide, folks, as to what we're going to do. These four men decided to follow Christ, and they did. And we know the story of how the disciples followed Christ. We know that Andrew, he was placed upon a cross. It was probably a cross made like an X, it says, for his death. And that was how he was executed. Andrew, being the quiet one, was placed upon a cross like an X. So folks, yes, there's a cost to following Jesus. There will be a cost to following Jesus every day of your life. And even at the end, there may be a cost to following Jesus in the way that you're called to die for Him that day. But I'm going to tell you, it's worth every bit of it. It's worth everything that it will cost you. So let's think about being a follower of Christ. Let's think about being like the disciples were. Jesus is trying to start a new kingdom. He's trying to get it on the ground, trying to get it running. Are we actually a part of this new kingdom? Are we part of the old? I hope we're part of the new, folks. I hope we see the new things that Jesus has offered to us, and we accept them and take them and go with them. Think about it and respond to the Jesus. No one else, but respond to Jesus. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.